Get your hymnal there and turn over to page 346. Page 346.
Jesus. the Lord. All right. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight on our first Sunday night back since all the coronavirus stuff got started. Our first Sunday night back in the building and a good crowd here for Sunday night. Thank you so much for coming to the house of the Lord this evening. Good to have you. And so don't forget, here coming up, go ahead and put it on your calendars and remind yourself. And then we'll be putting videos here this week, next week, leading up to it. But June will be Thundering Thursdays. And the first one will kick off will be Brother Barry Spears, Pastor Sunrise Baptist Church, Lugoff, South Carolina. We love Brother Barry Spears and thank God for him. He'll be here preaching for us. Brother Daniel Waters and his family will be here one Thursday preaching for us. And then a man who's a friend of mine, but I've never actually had the opportunity to meet him. My wife and children met him one time, but I've never actually met him. We've just talked on the phone and through internet, but I've watched his ministry for years, and he's the real deal, and he's been in a long time. That's Evangelist John Hamblin, and he's from way up north. I think he's from Michigan or something like that. He's a Yankee, but praise God, he put some fire. Amen. So you want to come hear that, and dear God, your mom and daddy's back here, boy. You better do right tonight. Good to see you, Brother Wes, Sister Jordan. Thank y'all for coming. That's Brother Matt's mom and daddy back here on the back row. I like him. He's a Bulldog fan. Glory. Yes. Amen. That's right. If I don't get a shout out of him for nothing else, I'll get a shout out of him for that. Me and him got to hang tight. That's right. He done something right in your upbringing. We love Brother Matt, and that's his parents, so we're glad they're here tonight. And so you make yourself at home, and let's give God the glory. I don't have a whole lot to mention other than that right there. We're going to have several songs tonight and just worship the Lord. And we're going to be doing some Bible teaching / preaching here in just a few minutes. So I hope you brought your Bibles tonight, okay? We're going to dive head first just as hard as we can down into the book and give you some things that I believe will help and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We thank you for what you have done already. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. God, I believe as a Christian, the best is yet to come. God, the things we're going to talk about tonight should excite every one of us, letting us know that the future is looking bright for the Christian. I'm so glad the church doesn't go down, but the church is going up. Lord, I'm glad the church is not looking for an undertaker. We are looking for the uppertaker. God, we're not listening or looking for signs and wonders. We're listening for a shout. We're looking for the Savior to come rescue us. And God, tonight I pray that you'd even so come, Lord Jesus. It wouldn't hurt my feelings, Lord. You know my heart. God, you know me to be telling exactly the truth, God, out of the depths of my heart. It wouldn't bother me a bit if you was just to interrupt this church service tonight. God, just stop it right in its tracks. Let the trump of God sound and call your children out of this old sin-cursed world to our home in glory. Lord, that'd be fine with me tonight. My tent pegs aren't driven down so deep where I wouldn't be happy for you just to uproot them. God, if you don't come tonight, then I pray that you'd help us. God, give us something down in our soul that would encourage us and charge us and change us. And we'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, we humble ask and pray all these things. Amen and amen. Come on, Brother Skip, give us one more good song, and then we'll have some special music tonight.
No matter who saints are, how can I pass?
for us. And then Brother Randy and Miss Melissa's going to come up and give us a good couple of songs this evening. Somebody had requested that the girls do this song. It's been a long time since we've heard them do this one. And so we're excited to hear it. So y'all go let it rip, ladies.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's good, sir. being in God's house, you know. Yeah. Nothing like being in His house, you know. It seems like a bunch of our freedom was taken away from us in the last few months. And I thank God we still got more freedom left. I thank God for it. What would I do? Thank you.
there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to
stay. Oh, sing, y'all.
There's food on my table and shoes on my
feet. Oh, yes.
You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Let's do it one more time. A cappella, sing now.
There's a roof up above me, I'm a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
Ain't God been good to us?
Amen.
Better to us than we deserve. If we just slide it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it when they've got to sing about what would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley. I about got tore up over there because I got to thinking where I'd be at if it wasn't for Jesus. You say, preacher, you've already told us your testimony. You don't have a testimony that you was out in the world and messed up. No, I wasn't. And I'm going to tell you why that's so. Because back before I was ever even born, when my mom and daddy was running around smoking dope and drinking liquor, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of their life.
Amen.
Pointed them to Jesus and saved them and changed mom and daddy so that I didn't have to turn out like make some of the mistakes they did.
Amen.
I got to thank you. If it wasn't for Jesus. Changing a heart, changing a home. My mom and daddy's home was headed for divorce just as fast as it could get there. I mean, brother, it was headed for absolute ruin and destruction. About the time, getting close to the time when my mama was going to have my brother, she was this close to aborting him. And she was lost, didn't know God, scared to death, young girl, didn't want a baby. That close to my older brother wouldn't even been here. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. You're exactly right, sis.
And he's not just my shepherd in those kind of times. He's my shepherd on a second by second basis.
Amen.
One foot in front of the other.
Yes. Praise God, that's good. Oh, what would we do without him?
Amen.
We can do without a whole lot of things, but I couldn't do without Jesus.
Amen.
Them midnight hours, them dark hours, them hard hours that the girls were singing about a minute ago. What would I do without him in them times?
Right.
That video, Miss Samantha, that they had put on the news about her and Brother Chip and the little boys. What would they have done without Jesus? What do you do without Jesus in times like that? Miss Vicky, some of the dark waters y'all been through in the last little bit. Miss Deb, the dark waters God has brought you through, and a host of others in here. What do you do without Jesus? I mean, Miss Susan, when you're all alone by yourself, what would you do without him? I don't know what I'd do without him. I've said this before, and it's the truth. I've been so long with him now, I can't imagine life without him. I've been so long with him, I couldn't imagine life without him. I don't want to imagine life without him. I ain't even going to try and do it. A fellow named Lee Strobel wrote a book one time called The Case for Faith. I don't know if any of y'all's read it before. It's an old book. I think they made a movie about it. But anyways, he chronicled and talked about a fella in there, the life of a fella that used to sing in tent revivals, saved man. And he just apostatized in a big way, backslid on God, walked away from the Lord and his Bible and the church, and just got totally away from him. And Lee Strobel went and interviewed him, and this was a statement. I'll never forget this as long as I live, Brother Jimmy. That man made this statement to Lee Strobel. He talked about knowing the Lord and being saved and walking with God. Then he talked about his backsliding and how far away he's gotten. This is what he said. He said, Mr. Strobel, if I could put it this way, I miss him. I miss him.
Right.
You ever get with the Lord And then get back, sit away from him, brother, you'll start missing him. You miss the fellowship of the Spirit. You'll miss getting your soul fed from the Word of God. I don't ever want to get so far I start missing him. I want to stay close to him. All right, I want you to take your Bibles tonight. And I want you to go to several different portions of Scripture. We're going to be all over the Bible tonight. So I hope you like your book, because we're going to be in it this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is where we're going to start off at. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. There's been a whole lot of renewed interest, I guess you could say, about future things, about prophetic things, about things to come. And tonight, if I could, I'd like to begin some things that maybe make some things in the future plain. Much of this you've probably heard. Maybe some of you have not. But tonight, we're going to start off dealing with, we'll probably make about 3 weeks out of this, not just dealing with this subject we're dealing with tonight, but several subjects leading past this. But tonight, we're going to deal with the church age rapture. The rapture of the church. You say, preacher, what is the next big event on God's time clock? And the next big event on God's time clock is you and I are getting out of this world. I hope it's today. I hope it's before that big clock strikes 6:34. That'd be just fine with me. And if it was, I hope you're leaving when I'm leaving. And I know we talk a lot about the rapture of the church, and we talk about the Lord coming and the church leaving, but tonight I want to show you why we believe these things. And I want to give you some ammunition, and I want to give you some teaching tonight of why we believe that the church is going to be raptured out of here. Now, to understand some of this stuff, I want to just make something real simple and real clear here, just right off the bat. I don't know how much of this you're going to be able to see or not see. If you can't see it real good or real plain, afterwards maybe come up here and take a picture of it with your phone and get a look at it, and then you can look at it at the house. But I'm going to draw about 4 different time periods here. This one ain't writing. That's a brand new marker. Expo done let me down. I'm going to draw about 4 different time periods here. And this is basically just what we're going to call just a mild, brief form of a dispensational chart. You say that word don't mean a lot to me. Well, it will here in just a minute. What I'm fixing to just give you... They put batteries in that direction in West Virginia where Brother Skip's from, praise God. So what I'm about to show you right here is nothing new. What I'm about to show you right here is something that anybody can pick up on. If you'll get a book called Dispensational Truth by a man named Clarence Larkin. It was written back in the 1920s. And it's the gold standard for stuff that I'm fixing to show you. Anything by a man named Peter Ruckman, that's good stuff too. That'll show you a lot of this stuff that I'm fixing to show you. And then there's just a host of people now that's grabbed on to all the stuff they've taught, and it's on the internet. I'm just going to show you stuff that I've been taught all through my Christian life. You say, preacher, what you fixing to show us come from a man. You was taught that. Well, everything we know, we was taught it by somebody. Nobody's an island. No man lives unto himself or dies unto himself. All of us was taught something by somebody. So what we're going to do is show you just some basic breaks and divisions in Scripture here real fast leading up to our church age rapture. And everybody got to understand this much, that the whole Bible is written for us, but the whole Bible's not written to us tonight. Y'all understand that? Everybody understands there's at least 2 dispensations in Scripture. You say, what is a dispensation? It literally means how God dispenses things throughout different timelines. God dispenses His grace and God dispenses His message in different ways from Genesis. This will be Genesis back over here, right on into Revelation. The Bible said, "Thy word is truth from the beginning to the end and forevermore." So that'll be Genesis, and now we're here on out by Revelation. Y'all excuse my handwriting. My wife says it looks like ransom notes from somebody that's trying to... That's I done spelled that wrong.
Is that Georgia?
I got an E there where there's supposed to be an A. It ain't as easy as it looks. Praise God. Now I got it right. Anyway, here we are, Genesis to Revelation. So everybody understands at least this much. Here's Calvary. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament.
Amen.
Everybody's got that much. Everybody understands there's something different that happens at the cross that changes things from here on out. Everybody understands what happened back over here. It's not our job to bring lambs and bullocks and goats and rams and turtle doves and sheep to an altar and cut their throat and try and get atonement or get redemption for it. Nobody on this side of the cross was born again. No such thing as a new birth till Jesus dies. Nobody over here was fully justified nor redeemed. Every year they had to bring their sacrifices year by year. Nobody had the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They didn't even go to the same place we go to. Brother, the Bible said they went, when souls of just men made perfect, when they died, they went down into the lower parts of the earth, into a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. They didn't even go to the same place we go to. How in the world could these people's salvation, I'm getting over here where I'm going to, how in the world could all these people's salvation be the same when they didn't even go to the same place? When Jesus dies on the cross, he goes down into the lower parts of the earth and leads captivity captive and gets all them Old Testament saints out, and paradise removes from the heart of the earth to the third heaven, according to the Apostle Paul. He said, "I got caught up into paradise," Paul said, but that don't happen until over here. So here we've got breaks. You just got to understand these things real quick. We've got a break here. You don't got to get all this, but you need to understand some of it. Here's an Old Testament. Then we've got on this side of Calvary, we've got a New Testament church age of grace. We got a New Testament. That's where you and I sit tonight. We're in the New Testament. We're in the church age. You'll not find the word church in the Old Testament. You'll find the word church littered throughout from the book of the Acts right on up until the book of the Revelation. You'll find that word church, church. This is where we're at right here. We're in a part where the prophets never saw. You know what the prophets back here all saw that prophesied in the Old Testament? They saw the cross, and then they saw the King ruling and reigning way out here in eternity. They didn't see this. This is a valley. They didn't see the valley of the church age. Anyways, so this is where we're at. Here's another time period that's soon to come, and it happens after the church age. This is called the tribulation, or the great tribulation, if you will. This is a literal 7-year period that God's going to go back to dealing with the Jews, and God's going to deal with them on the basis that they killed their king and they turned him down. And God's going to deal with them for 7 years, the Antichrist. That's a period we'll deal with next week. That's not for us right now. And then we get out here past the tribulation to a time called the millennium. We call it the millennial reign. We'll just call it millennium. You say, why is it called millennium? Because millennium means a thousand, and it's a 1,000-year reign. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years. You say, preachers, I thought you was talking about the rapture. I am. But I want you to understand some of this stuff while I'm leading up to it. So the next thing on God's time clock, just before the tribulation, here's our break, something's going to happen and some people are going to leave out of this world. Right here, before this. We don't believe the church goes through the tribulation. We'll talk about that in a minute. We believe we get out. Now let's read these portions of Scripture, and we'll get into the text tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul said this in verse number 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50. You say, preacher, the word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible. You're exactly right. The word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible. But do you realize the word Bible is not mentioned in the Bible? The word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. There's a whole lot of biblical terms that are not mentioned in the Bible. The word rapture literally just means a catching away, being caught out. And we'll find that to be scriptural here in just a minute over in 1 Thessalonians. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep. Talking about being dead. Dead and in the ground. We should not all sleep, But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I can't tell you how many gravesides I've read this over. This is a blessing and a comfort to anybody that's lost a loved one. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Come to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, these are classic rapture passages, if you will. Classic rapture text. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul's going to deal with the same subject again in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let me take a time out and say this right here. No Bible-believing child of God believes in soul sleep. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in soul sleep. You say, what's soul sleep? They believe when you die, not only does your body go to the grave to sleep, but your soul lays in the grave sleeping too. That's hogwash. A soul lives on somewhere forever. Did you catch what he said there? He said, even them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When a person dies, I'll just deal with a saved person. When a saved person dies, their body goes in the dirt. But their soul and their spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You say, so what happens at a rapture? That body comes up to meet the soul and the spirit, and it turns into a glorified body. God gives a new body. Anyways, here we go, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We're not looking for signs, we're listening for a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All right, one more before we dive off. Come just to the right in the book of Titus, the little book of Titus. You'll find 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Or verse 11. Titus 2, 11. Titus 2:11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for Jesus to show up. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, them's some classic texts on what we call the rapture of the church. It's going to happen right in here. We're at the jumping off point. You can't read your Bible and come to the conclusion that we're not real close to the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist stepping up and ruling and reigning, and the church getting out. Let me say this before we move on any farther. There's all kind of raptures in the Bible. Amen. You ain't going to be the first one that gets raptured out when you get raptured out. Enoch got raptured out. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Elijah got raptured out. A chariot of fire come down, grabbed him and took him up. Jesus got raptured out. Acts chapter 1, he went up in a cloud, received him up in their sight, and he said, this same Jesus which is gone shall so come in like manner. Paul, the apostle, got raptured out. He got stoned outside of Lystra, and brother, he left his body and got caught up to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and he saw the third heaven. Poor old Paul, God sent him back. Wouldn't that be a bummer? I mean, wouldn't that stink, man, to get out of this old nasty world and you get up there and see all your friends and your relatives and your loved ones and street of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl, and then God said, sorry, buddy, you can't stay. You got to go back down there and they're going to cut your head off here after a while. What a bummer that is, man. And old John got raptured out. We'll find that here in a little bit. John, Revelation chapter number 4. John the Beloved gets raptured out and he sees the revelation. He sees future events. So there have been all kind of people that's gotten raptured out. But coming in the future, there's one in the past and two in the future. There'll be groups of people that's raptured out. Groups of people. Let me show you what I mean. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got a little outline I'm going to throw out here. But I'm just giving you some Bible here to start off with. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This rapture or resurrection, if you will, Paul pictures it like a harvest, like when you plant something. How many of y'all ever planted a garden before? Now, let me ask you this. How many of y'all ever got something out of your garden? Okay. Some of y'all couldn't raise your hand the second time, praise God. Everybody that's ever planted a garden and got something, you know that any fruit that comes up, there's three parts to it. There's the first fruits. Them first little ripe ones that come up before anything else, and you go out and get them. Then there's the harvest. That's when the main bulk of your crop comes up, and you go get them. Then there's gleanings. Then you go get a few more that blooms a little bit later. That's a three-part resurrection that we're fixing to find the scripture, and I'm going to show it to you on this chart here. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Watch it. Every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Time out, it looks like this. Y'all remember what your Bible said? When Jesus died on the cross, he went down here to paradise, preached to the spirits in prison, and the Bible said he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When he ascended up on high, he vacated paradise down below. You say, who did he take with him? All them Old Testament saints. When Christ come up on the third day from the grave, and when he went back to the heavenlies and presented his blood as the sacrifice, he didn't go by himself. He took Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all them Old Testament saints that died in a state of grace, brother, that died, I mean, with their sins covered, but was down in paradise. He resurrected them. They're out. That's first fruits. Christ, the first fruits. Then look at the next part. Watch what it said. As in Adam all die, and so in Christ shall be made alive. Verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Here's what you got here. First fruits. That's Jesus Christ. That's your first part of your resurrection right there. Then here comes this. They that are Christ at his coming. Here comes the harvest. You say, what's the harvest? That's the church age. That's 2,000 plus years from right here when Jesus got up from the grave till right here when the tribulation starts. That's 2,000 plus years of thousands and yea, even millions of people getting born again by the grace of God. And they're coming out in this rapture. Them dead bodies, they're coming up. They're going to meet soul and spirit and get a glorified body. That's the harvest. You say, well, where's the gleanings at? Then look what it said. Verse 23, every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end. Now, we don't have time to deal with this one tonight. I'm just going to throw it out, and you're just going to have to take it as it lies. Just before Jesus Christ comes back, remember I preached here a while back about Jesus will ride again, Revelation 19, he's going to come back on a white horse and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Just before Jesus Christ comes back to set up his throne on planet Earth, there's going to be a third rapture. There's going to be a rapture of tribulation saints at the end of the tribulation. They go up with Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are the tribulation witnesses. We ain't got time to deal with that. I've talked to you about it in Sunday school. But they go up at the end of 7-year tribulation, and they come back down with the Lord at the millennium. Now, we ain't got time to talk about that. But here's your three main divisions of raptures. First fruits, we're the harvest, gleanings. All right, let's get into this church age rapture. I got to hurry. We got a lot of ground to cover here, so let's hurry and throw it out and we'll be done. Number one, I want to show you the place of this rapture as far as the place in history. Where does it belong historically? When will it happen? Well, I don't have a date or a time. Too many really smart guys tried to put dates and times and figures on it, and time just blew right on past them, and now here we still sit. I mean, one of the most brilliant men I ever knew said that the rapture was going to take place in 1993, 7-year tribulation would happen, and then the year 2000, you know, Y2K would be when the Lord come back and set up his rule and reign. Well, 93 blew right on past, and the church was still here, and he looked like an idiot. And so ain't no sense in predicting dates and times. I don't know when he's coming. All I know is this thing right here, brother, this thing right here, you know what it looks like? It looks like a pregnant woman. Y'all ever seen a pregnant woman before? I've watched that one go through it 4 times. And brother, all the doctors and prognosticators gave a due date and said, well, you're going to come at this time. And all of them was wrong. All them smart people was wrong. But I tell you what I could watch. Brother, I could watch the signs and see it was getting closer. I don't know when it's going to happen, but brother, she got bigger and bigger, and I can tell it's coming any time now. Now, y'all, it's coming any time now. I mean, we're advanced to the utmost extent, y'all. Here we are. Have you seen history? Do you realize where history starts in the book of Genesis? It starts in a garden in the Middle East. That's where history started at. It started in a garden, not in Africa, in the Middle East. And do you see where history has went to? History has left the Middle East, traveled east across the world, you know, or traveled west, excuse me, across the world. Go west, young man. And history has traveled west and gone through Europe and then went from Europe to the Americas. And now from there, clear on back over to Asia. And it's circled the whole world around. You know where we're at again in history? We're back at the start. We ain't got nowhere else to go. History's done rolled all the way around. You say, well, what's coming then? This is what's coming. This is what's coming. So the place in history, when's it going to be? Well, I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but I know when it's going to be before. Now, every born-again child of God is a Bible believer, needs to get a hold of this. This church age rapture, here's where you and I are living right now. This rapture happens before the tribulation. Don't you never let no nut come along and tell you that the church goes into the tribulation period. It ain't gonna happen. I know some that come along and they started teaching this. Well, the church is just gonna go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and then get raptured out. We call that a mid-trib stance. Listen, baby, if you're gonna be here for the first 3.5 years, don't pack your bags. You'll be here for the last 3.5 years. We're getting out. Now you say, what do you base that on, preacher? Well, I base it on several things. Let me tell it to you like this first. This period of time that we're gonna talk about next week, this tribulation period, it has nothing to do with the church. It ain't got nothing to do with us. You know what this period is called in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30 and verse number 7? It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. That's Jewish. It's called in Daniel, it's called Daniel's 70th week. And I'll tell you next week why that is. We've got time to do it tonight. It ain't got nothing to do with the church. It's all Israel. And you go over there and start looking at them verses in the Revelation that deal with the tribulation. Brother, it ain't got nothing to do with the church. It's all Israel. We're out of here. Matter of fact, I would challenge you to do this sometime. Pick your Bible up and flip to the book of the Revelation. And I would like for you to notice how many times the word church is mentioned in the first 3 chapters of the book of the Revelation. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Brother, you get right here in the book of the Revelation, it's church, church, under the angel of the church of Smyrna, under the angel of the church of Sardis, under the angel of the church of Thyatira, under the angel of the church of Pergamos, under the angel of the church of Philadelphia, under the angel of the church of Laodicea, and church, church, church. But chapter 4 comes along, we'll look at that in a minute, John's a picture of the church, and when he goes out, the church is gone out of the book of the Revelation. The next time you find the word church mentioned, it's in Revelation 22, after it's all over with. That Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what this period of history right here is? It's a period of wrath. That 7-year tribulation is God dumping his unsheathed terror on a world that rejected his son, and more specifically, on a people, the Jews, that rejected their king. It ain't got nothing to do with me. As a matter of fact, if the church goes through the tribulation, And if the church runs through it and gets caught up here with the gleanings only to come right back down with Jesus on a white horse, I got a question. When does the judgment seat of Christ happen? What happened? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you realize the Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ? The church age saints? We've got to get rewards in our bodies for things that we've done, whether they be good or bad. When does that happen? You know what else happens in this intermediary time here? There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. We're getting yoked up to the bridegroom. What's happening in heaven while all this is going on earth? The church is getting all the wrinkles ironed out of her. The Bible said he's going to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. While this 7 years is going on earth, we're going to be in the glory world getting all the wrinkles ironed out and then getting hitched up to our heavenly bridegroom, and then we're coming back for the honeymoon, praise God. This ain't got nothing to do with us. And let me say this to you. Everybody in here needs to understand this. You want to talk about mass Bible confusion? You need to catch this. Do you know where every messed up doctrine comes from? Do you know why we've got so many people running around believing they can lose their salvation in this age? You know why you got so many people running around trying to work and earn salvation in this age? You know why you got so many people messed up on tongues and on apostleship and all? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Every major doctrine that's erroneous doctrine gets propagated because they take a verse from here and put it there, or take a verse from here and put it there, or take a verse from here and put it there. That Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. There's divisions in that book. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you run through that whole Bible and just say, well, that's all written to me, you're going to end up as fouled up as a termite in a wooden yo-yo, friend. I mean, you're going to end up upside down and backwards. Yep. Get over there. I mean, look, I treaded lightly this morning, as lightly as I could have in the book of Mark. But you get over there, them companion passages to what I read this morning in the book of Matthew, that kingdom gospel and that kingdom message that the king was preaching on this side of the cross. That's some wild stuff over in there, brother. And you start taking that and applying it to you and I in the church age. You know why people say that people can lose their salvation here? Because there's people that can lose their salvation here. And there's people that could lose their salvation back there. But we're living in the day and a time, brother, where we can't lose what we didn't work for. It. I didn't earn it. I can't lose it. He gave it to me. These people right here, you say, oh, I don't believe people can lose their salvation. Well, let me ask you a question. Somebody gets in the tribulation, and we look at this next week. Somebody gets in the tribulation and, you know, quote, unquote, get saved. You know, quote, unquote, saved. It's faith and works here. It's not salvation by grace through faith there. And they take the mark of the beast. What happens to them? I tell you what happens to them. They go to hell. Y'all listen to me. In this age I'm living in right now, now I wouldn't do it. You'd be dumb to. But brother, I could tattoo 666 across my forehead, across my forehand. You know where I'm going to go when I die? I'm going to glory. Because right. That mark ain't got nothing to do with me. Amen. Got nothing to do with me. You don't miss those things. So we see the place. I got so much I could give you references here, but we ain't got time. So we see the place of this rapture. Then we're going to see pictures of the rapture. Pictures of this church age rapture. What's the picture? There are types and pictures of this all through Scripture. The first one shows up in Genesis. Go all the way back to Genesis and chapter number 5. Genesis and chapter number 5. Genesis chapter 5, the first picture of a church age rapture that shows up is a man named Enoch. And watch what it says in Genesis 5:22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. Somebody said he wasn't an astronaut. He wasn't a cosmonaut. He was a was not. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Amen. I mean, old Enoch and God just walking down the road one day. And God said, you know what, Enoch? We're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come home with me? Sound like a winner of a deal to me, God. Where'd Enoch go? I don't know. He was walking with God one day and bam, it was gone. He's out. You know what Enoch's a picture of? He's a picture of a child of God that goes out in the rapture and never dies. Wouldn't that be awesome to cheat death? Now I know what the Bible said, but that's a general statement. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. But do you realize there's a lot of people in the Bible that either didn't die or they died twice? Appointed once to die. Well, the widow of Nain's son died twice. Lazarus died twice. Hey, all kinds of people in the Bible died twice. They died, got resurrected, and died again. That's a general statement. And Enoch never dies. Some people say Enoch is that one of them witnesses that comes back in the tribulation, and he's one of them two witnesses. I beg to differ with you. We'll deal with that next week maybe. But I got scripture to prove that ain't even so. It's Moses and Elijah. But apart from all that, if you put Enoch back over here in the tribulation and make him die, you know what you do? You destroy the greatest picture of a church age saint that leaves out in the rapture and goes into eternity and never dies. You know what, in Enoch, the picture gets even deeper of a church age rapture. Do you notice when Enoch gets out, what he gets out right before? Genesis 6. Genesis 6, 7, and 8. You know what Genesis 6, 7, and 8 is? Brother Skip just said it. It's a flood. And do you know what Jesus said about his coming back here? Jesus said about his coming back here when he comes back to rule and reign. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I want to take time out there and give you a little extracurricular stuff to understand when you're reading your Bible. When you read that phrase as it relates to a rapture or Jesus coming back, Son of Man, go ahead and mark this down. It ain't got nothing to do with the church. That Son of Man term is a Jewish term. Son of Man. He's a son of the Jews. Paul never uses that term in relation to Jesus Christ with the church. He's the Son of God. He's the bridegroom. He's the Savior of the body. When you read Son of Man, you can count, mark this down. It's talking about this rapture, not this rapture. Two totally different raptures. You read all in verses over there that says, and I know we use them, you know, practically and devotionally, and that's all right, but it ain't doctrinal. I'm dealing straight with the meat tonight. Look, we're so deep now on some of us that we're drowning, but we're just giving you the straight up meat tonight, all right? Look, I know we give verses out like this, you know, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left, you know, two on the housetop, one be taken the other left, two grinding at the mill, one be taken the other left. That ain't got nothing to do with our rapture. That's this rapture at the end of the tribulation. It ain't this rapture. Let me throw this out at you too. Anywhere you find where the Bible says he's coming like a thief in the night, thief in the night, thief in the night, that has nothing to do with our rapture. He does not come as a thief in the night for the church. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, you're not in the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. He don't come back as a thief in the night for the church. He comes back as the Savior of the body. He comes back as the bridegroom, and we gladly go out to meet him. This is the thief in the night rapture. This is the one that Jesus told them, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch and be ready, for you know not in the day nor the hour when the Son of Man doth come. That's this rapture, not this rapture. So we see the pictures of the rapture. You see when old Enoch gets out? Enoch gets out right before a flood. It's a picture of the tribulation. You know what Noah is a picture of? Noah is a picture of a tribulation saint riding out the tribulation to the end, and he gets out in a new world. He rides out judgment and he gets off the boat into a new world, the millennial kingdom. Old Enoch is us. Enoch gets taken out with God. Noah goes through right here, picture of the tribulation, and then gets off here. That's your pictures. So Enoch's a picture. Here's another picture. I like what old Brother Gillum preached for us. Go to the Song of Solomon. It's a beautiful picture. Brother Gillum preached through this precious little book. You don't hear a lot of preaching out of Song of Solomon, but man, it was gold. But here's you a nugget here. Here's another picture of our rapture nestled in Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse number 8. If you'll find the big book of Psalms and come to the right, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the third book of Solomon is Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. If you made it to Isaiah, you went too far, come back to the left. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart, like a deer. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. That prompted some people to say that the rapture is going to take place sometime around May. They said April showers, spring May flowers. I don't know. I'm not going to try and predict it or date it. I'm just throwing that out to you. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Let me take time out right there. You know what the fig tree is in Bible study? It's Israel. And he said in this day, when he comes back to get his beloved, the fig tree is blooming and blossoming. Do y'all see what's happening in Israel right now? The embassy just got put where it ought to be in Jerusalem. She's blooming. She's blossoming. She just got planted back in her homeland in the 40s. They just had a seven-day war in the 60s. Brother, she's blooming and blossoming. And it said when the fig tree starts blooming and blossoming, watch what happens. The vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Do you know who Solomon is talking to? Solomon is a Jew. Do you know who this woman he's in love with is? She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew at all. She's a picture of the Gentile bride of Christ. Amen. You say, where do you get that from? Verse number 5. She's in chapter 1, verse 5. She said, I am black but comely. Ain't no black Jews. I mean, I'm just telling you the God's honest truth. There ain't no such thing as black Jews, y'all. And so here we are. This woman's a Gentile. It's a picture of a Gentile church. And the Jewish Savior comes and says, rise up, love, fair one, come away with me. Let's get out of this joint. Let's blow this popsicle stand. I'll take you to my house. Yeah, here's another picture. We'll go to the book of the Revelation. We're running fast to the close here. Revelation chapter 4, John is a picture of the New Testament church. John is that disciple whom Jesus loved. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I told you in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, you just get church to death. Church, 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 church. Jesus walking in the candlesticks of the church, and there's a church here and a church there and a church yonder. But watch what happens in Revelation 4, 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. Remember both your references, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, said it's going to be at the last trump. John said, I heard a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, so on and so forth. John is a picture of the church. Do you see when John gets raptured out? He gets raptured out right after the most carnal church age that there is. You realize what the church is? Look at the church before John gets called out. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, on and on and on. Brother, that's the church day we're living in. Amen. We are not living in that great Philadelphian church, the sixth church, the one before Laodicea, that church of the open door. We're not living there no more. We're living in Laodicea, a church that's rich, increased with goods, and don't need nothing, not even God. We're good on our own. And Jesus is on the outside of his own church, knocking to get in, according to Revelation 3. The church, look at here, the end of this age does not end in a big, great revival and, you know, thousands and thousands getting saved and the whole world getting right. The end of this age don't end in revival. It ends in ruin. I'm sorry to tell you. And I still believe we can have a Philadelphian church in a Laodicean church age. Amen. I believe we can have a Philadelphian type church. I mean, a church that loves God and goes and wants to do right. But the mass majority of churches, they're Laodicean churches. And old John said right after I got through that Laodicean church age of where, you know, it ain't worship no more. It's rock and roll groups and rap groups and basically a glorified whip dab nay-nay show and a rap session with the congregation. It ain't preaching no more. It ain't Bible exposition. Y'all, come on, be honest with yourself. When's the last time you heard this much Bible exposition in a message before?
Amen.
Not very often. Not very often. People don't want to hear the Bible no more. They want to come in, and in the last days they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. That's the Laodicean church age. And it said in Revelation 4, after John seen all that, he looked and there was a door open in heaven and he said, come up hither. We're getting out of here. Once again, you know what all this points to? We're getting real close to leaving. We're getting close to leaving. Whatever you're going to do for God, you better do it now. This is real, man. The place of this rapture. Pictures of the rapture. And lastly, I'm done. The participants of the rapture. Who's going, who's staying? Well, naturally, it should near about go without saying that the saints of God are going up. Those that's been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, those are the ones leaving in this rapture. Now, I'm gonna say something here that I ain't real sure about. You can come talk to me about it afterwards and give me your opinion, because what I'm going to throw out is just an opinion. When we go out here, I don't know if the Old Testament saints, I don't know if they get their glorified body here or not. I know when we go out here, we get a glorified body, church age saints. I have no idea if all these people over here that Jesus took to paradise with him, their bodies are still laid down in the dirt. I have no idea if they get their glorified body there or not. I've talked about that with a lot of preachers and I never got a satisfactory answer. I don't know if they get it here or if they get it here. I don't know. So you have to get some scripture on that one and figure that one out yourself. I know we get a glorified body right here. You say, what's going to happen, preacher? If this was to happen tonight, if this right here was to happen tonight, this rapture, what would happen? I tell you the first thing that would happen. Everybody in here that's born again, you'd hear a voice.
Amen.
And he'd call your name. You say, where you get that from? You can write down John chapter number 10 and verse number 27, 28, 29. My sheep hear my voice and they know me and follow me. And John said, I heard a trumpet as it were talking with me and said, come up hither. So you know what you'd hear? You'd hear the sound of a trumpet, one of them big shofar horns being blown. But it wouldn't just be a trumpet. It would sound like a voice. And it would say, Tiger Taylor! But brother, it's going to happen so fast. I mean, did you get 1 Corinthians 15? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll say, Katina Russell! It'll say, Charles Keller! And brother, I've never heard that voice audibly, but I promise you this, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. And when I hear that voice for the first time, I'm going to say, I know that voice. That's the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains. I know that voice. I know that voice. You're going to hear a voice. And you say, what's going to happen after that? Just as soon as that happens, turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And chapter number 3. And then your body's going to change in the air. Anybody that's got aches and pains or gray hairs or artificial anything, or to say amen, thank God. I love that old song the Rochester sang. On that resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ arise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Look what he said right here in verse number 4 of Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look at what your body's going to be like. Let me give you a news update. 1 John chapter 3. Go towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3. Here's what your body's going to look like. fashioned like. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You say, what kind of body is that? That's an incorruptible body. You know what kind of body that? Let me just give you, this is what's going to happen. I mean, brother, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that trumpet's going to sound, call your name, and I mean, out just like that, you're going to go. The dead in Christ's going to pop out before us. Them old dead bodies are going to be resurrected and put in a new body. Their soul and spirit's going to drop down from the third heaven, make reunited with their body where they've been at up there. Then we, which are alive and remain, out we're going to go. We're going to, look at here. If you ain't saved tonight and the rapture happened, you'd go insane in about 10 seconds. Let's say in a crowd this size, let's say about 5 people got left behind in a crowd this size, and I'm sure there's 5 people that probably get left behind. Let's say 5 people got left behind in a crowd this size if the trumpet was the sound and we was to leave. You would go mentally insane in about 10 seconds. You say, why? Because the only thing going to be left of us, 1 second we're going to be here, and the next second you know what's going to be left? A pile of clothes and a pool of blood. You say, what do you mean a pool of blood? I mean, my body's going to be like his body. You know what Jesus said to them disciples when he showed up in the upper room in Luke 24? He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He didn't have no blood. He done shed it. And I read to you in 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My flesh is going to get a new body like his, but my blood stays. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That old contaminated, dirty blood that I got from my daddy. It's staying. You want to talk about going mentally insane? All of a sudden, I mean, a light goes off out there brighter than 10 suns, and a sound happens, and them glass windows bust in, and all of a sudden, everybody's gone out of this place, and the only thing left is pews dripping with blood and clothes left everywhere. And in about 6 days, people keep riding by, and the parking lot still got cars in them, and somebody comes in here, you know, looking for people, and here 3 or 4 of y'all laid out on the floor foaming at the mouth because you done went mentally insane. Where they at? Where'd they go? I can't find them. Where they at? Where they go? And here just blood. Brother, you talk about this world's going to go nuts. And listen to what I'm fixing to say. For years, I wondered, Brother West, how is this world going to get set up to receive one slick, smooth-talking dude that's going to come up and lead this world into a tribulation period? How in the world is that going to work? A one-world government, one-world currency? How's that going to work? Coronavirus should have opened your eyes. In about 3 weeks, we saw how people will line right up like sheeple, and they'll just walk right on into whatever, brother. And you let millions of people disappear off this planet like that, and one guy step up with answers to fix all of it? They'll walk right off into the 666 microchip, mark the beast, whole 9 yards, just like that.
That's right.
So you say, what's going to happen to these participants? We getting out of here, and this body is going to put on a body like his. You know what kind of body I'm going to have? I'm going to have a body that can get, brother, from this globe, clear on out yonder past the farthest star. They used to say it was Alpha Draconis. I have no idea what the farthest one is. However many thousands and thousands of light years that is, it's going to be able to get out there in a span of just a few minutes. Jesus stood in the Garden of Gethsemane and looked at Mary and said, "Don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father." And brother, in a matter of hours, he got from that garden to ascend to his Father, and then got back in an upper room and said, "Thomas, handle me."
Yeah.
In a matter of hours, man. That's moving.
Amen.
You know what else he done? Y'all all are Baptists. You ought to like this. You know what else Jesus done in that upper room? He ate.
Amen.
In a glorified body. Brother Mike, that Bible said in Luke 24, to prove to them that he wasn't just some apparition or some ghost or spirit, he said, "Feel me." They felt him and they could feel him. And then he said, "You got anything to eat? I'll prove to you I'm real. Give me something to eat." And they gave him, the Bible said, broiled fish and a honeycomb, I think, something like that. And he ate fish and honey.
Amen.
You say, what did he do that for? Just because it tasted good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I talk them tongues right there. You say, how's that work? I I know it's going to work. I'm going to have a body like his. They had them doors locked in that upper room, and he passed right through them and stood right in the midst of them. I'm going to be like him. Man, you ain't never seen such in all your life. We see the place of the rapture, the picture of this rapture, and the participants of this rapture. I'll read you one more verse of scripture and I'm done. I'm going to read it in you here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If I got this reference right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. There it is. What kind of body is this body that we're talking about? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. He's talking about seeds. You put a seed in, but that ain't what comes up. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. In other words, the bodies that them saints that died in Jesus, them old bodies that went down, it ain't going to be the same body that comes up. Amen. Sown in weakness, raised in power. I sure am glad the last time I seen some of my relatives and neighbors and loved ones, I get so tired of funerals. Not that I get tired of being with you at funerals and comforting. That ain't what I'm talking about. You know what I get tired of funerals? I get tired of seeing death. I get tired of seeing tears. I get tired of seeing heartache. Because I have to live in this world and it breaks my heart too. Breaks. You walk over and see a dead shell laying there. And most of the time you see that dead shell, it's got gray hair and wrinkles and it's lived up its life. And that old shell just got weaker and weaker and older. And finally that old saint of God, that soul and spirit slipped out to the glory world and that old body gets put down in that dirt. But son, what a day, glorious day. When all that old dirt turns into resurrection ground, all them bodies of the saints come up and get a body fashioned like his glorious body. What a day. You know, I know we don't think about this much. We're talking about rapture. We're talking about glorified body. I know we don't think about this much. But you realize, you know, Granny, you'll know Granny in heaven. But you realize Granny ain't going to be 80 years old in heaven. Who wants to be 80 in heaven? I mean, you understand that, right? What she went down as ain't the same thing she's coming up as. I mean, who wants to be 90 years old in heaven? Them little boys that we buried and had that video the other day, they went down just little infants. They're not going to be babies. You say, well, they going? Man, they're going to have a body. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be awesome. And they'll know mom and daddy. And mom and daddy will know them. The Bible said, I shall know even as I'm known. Can you? Man, I hope it happens tonight. Wouldn't that be something? Well, Chip walked through the pearly gates and here come two boys running at you. Daddy! Yeah, I know you. Man, that's going to be something, brother. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Brother, don't you drive your tent pegs down too deep in this world because Jesus is going to yank them up if you're saved. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I wouldn't miss this for nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. I wouldn't miss this and go through, knowing what I know about the tribulation, you'd be an absolute imbecile to have to go through this when Jesus died on the cross to save your soul and get you out of it. Jesus did not die on the cross to make this world a better place to live in. He died on this cross to get you out.
Amen.
Amen to that. That's a church age rapture. All right, next week we're going to focus in on this tribulation. Maybe the week after that go to millennium. We're going to talk about things to come here. Father, I pray you'd bless the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I love the book. I appreciate it. And God, I thank you for the meat and the milk and the honey and the water that we find in it that feeds and nourishes our inner man and our soul. God, I pray we'd take this stuff with us. God, help it to push us to want to study more and learn more and read more. And God, show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen need not to be ashamed. God, I know the Bible said much study is a weariness of the flesh. But God, help us to dig in and search the scriptures. For in them we think we have eternal life, and there they which testify of you. God, help us to read what you've given to us in our own language. And we'll thank you for it now. Bless your people this week. Keep them safe. Watch over, protect them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed right there tonight, church.